Black and Paper presents Chat Cinema, podcast number 3. I'm here with Steve and Sophia, and they have some very interesting comments and takes on the Golden Globes and the coming award seasons. Let's get started.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everyone.
So you started really, really hard. Okay, what do we think about the Golden Globes? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That was very, very predictable.
But they tried to be unpredictable and inclusive.
Exactly.
And diversity and, singing in the rain. Just exactly. Optimistic.
Exactly. Well, let's set the record straight about the Golden Globes. The Golden Globes, they are awards that made from the people who are watching films, but not from people that they are making films. Then that's the big difference with the Academy Awards. In the Academy, there are people who are making films, and the Golden Globes are people who are watching films, and PR agents, and journalists, and press, and this and that and the other. So I think that the first thing, and basically what I have to say, is that I didn't like the awards. They were predictable, and they wanted to be unpredictable, as you say. But I don't see an artistic consequence. That's what I have to say. I will elaborate.
Oh, okay.
And Steven?
Yeah, it's we're just looking at the nominations to start with. It was it didn't exactly whet the appetite just for what was in the nominations. And then, you know, at least in every nomination there was one sort of slightly or, you know, comparatively offbeat film. You think, well, it would be great if that could win it and, you know, surprise us and be that little bit sort of radical for, at least for Golden Globes. But then when it actually came to the winners themselves, it was...
They tried somehow to satisfy everybody.
Yeah.
And, of course, they shared everything between the studios also. That's also
Hollywood, it's a business town.
Of course, it's a business town. But... Also, I do agree with Steve, but the thing is, when we say we're not consistency, let's take, for example, Rami Malek. He was awarded as a best male actor in the category of drama, whereas the man in half of the film, The Bohemian Rhapsody, he sings, so he should be in the musical or comedy. So in the same case, for example, Marion Cotillard, like many years ago, she was doing a musical biography, but she was in the category of musical or comedy. So it means there is no consequence. I don't know where it's based that Rami Malek should be in the drama, and I don't understand why they should be in the drama, or why should they be in the comedy musical. So I think it's a mistake. It has no artistic value, that kind of an award, I think.
Well, the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, they control the Golden Globes, and there have always been questions about how they nominate, who they nominate. Actually, the whole process is a bit foggy. Pia Sadora won. What does that tell us?
She had a very rich husband.
Yeah. Okay,
ouch.
I'm not saying anything more because we have to be politically correct in the Me Too era, but I'll just say this. Isidore wasn't exactly dripping with talent. How's that, huh?
it's true. I mean, why is this, they distinguish, they're making two categories where one category gets in the field into the other category and vice versa. And I see that there's, what are the criteria? This is what I don't understand.
That's always been the problem with the Golden Globes. No one really
seems
to understand.
So it's a huge party. Yeah, and for guys, actually it is. That's
it
what
is.
It is.
No one really, I don't know if people really take it seriously. And I mean, it is kind of a gauge.
But everybody goes.
Yeah, everybody goes.
And then also, I mean, they even try to elevate it to the level of saying that it's the pre-Oscars, you know, and this is going, you know, you get a good indicator of what's going to happen in the Oscars from, you know, the Golden Globes. But I think that's a little bit putting it on a, you know, a level which, with all due respect, I don't think it's reached, you know. And of course, the Oscars themselves, the Academy Awards themselves, is dubious, you know.
75% men, white, vote for the Oscars. Yes. Just remember that. That's why Lawrence of Arabia won. There wasn't a single woman. Well, only thing in that damn movie was a white man running around Arabia and some camels. I'm sorry. Next.
yeah. But, well, of course, the Golden Globes and all the awards, I mean, in organizations and unions and whatever, they give us an idea of what the Academy Awards are going to be, but it's not exactly the same. The Academy Awards, they have a different concept than they are from professionals that they are making the movies. So if we take the categories, I was very happy with Glenn Close. Really yep. happy. Everybody expected that she wore that
horrible blue tunic.
It was. But I wanted to say about Lady Gaga, she was wearing this long blue dress and she was ready to get this
That dress was gold. Horrible, by the way.
Well, for her, yeah, it was
well, it's better than the meat dress. But I think she expected to win, and she didn't.
Exactly. Yes. That's what I wanted to say. She expected to win, so she only got the best song for Shallow, which, of course, okay, it's a beautiful song, and she's a musician, and we expected that, but she also wanted the other one for the performance, but she didn't.
I don't really take Lady Gaga seriously as an actress for some reason, but everyone says the movie's good, so I guess I have to see it. But I'm like,
but it was overall, it was a snub at the Globes. It was a
for
snub
her?
Overall. Bradley Cooper. I mean, they had so many nominations. They only won the song. That's what was expected.
Sorry, Lady Gaga. But hey, seriously, lady, this was Glenn Close's year. She's been nominated. This was seventh. This will be a seventh Oscar nomination if she gets it, seventh or eighth. But how many Golden Globes has she been nominated for? And this is the year of, you know, I'm a woman, hear me roar, you know. So.
But I think that in her speech, I heard that her speech, she started very slowly and humbly and whatever, and then she sort of exploded, and I think it was the hidden complaint that she has never been recognized, and even the Golden Globes, she has won Golden Globes, but not for a performance in a film. Exactly. All the awards, another two Golden Globes that she has won was for TV performances.
Oh, you kidding? I thought she won one.
Yes.
I don't know.
It was her first. For
Glenn
feature
Close?
Film. Yeah, for feature film. Yeah.
That's so shocking. I didn't know that. Okay.
I shocked you.
You know, and it also, like, increases the sort of the thoughts, the ideas that maybe, you know, it's just certain people who, like, the nepotism, who's married to who and
absolutely
who gets on with who. And I'm sure Glenn Close has been an outspoken, independent voice for many years.
Absolutely.
And,
You're right. But we love her, don't we?
Yes. I like Glenn Close. I've always been a fan.
Me too.
Quite shy. I didn't know this was our first film win.
Yeah.
Well,
And
congratulations, Glenn. Hated the dress. You're horrible. I would fire your stylist. I'm sorry.
Be careful, Glenn. At the Academy Awards, you have to wear something nice. Because
I'll be watching.
He's watching.
Next category.
Did
we agree with best? Who won best director?
Best director was for Alfonso Cuarón.
Okay.
We love him. Mexican, great guy. I don't know. He sweeped the foreign language film and direction, which is a little bit contradictive somehow.
But it's always
okay.
A matter of convenience.
It's right. Exactly. And then we have Rami Malek.
I don't get his acting style. I honestly don't. Those eyes or something. I mean, I've watched that TV show, but it's just, I don't know.
I hated the show. I didn't like it.
My boyfriend didn't like it either. But okay, let's move forward. But yeah, and like I said, Bohemian Rhapsody, considering Freddie Mercury led such a decadent life, they really glossed over a lot. They kind of Disney-fied his life.
Definitely.
I mean, there are stories about Freddie and his boyfriend and certain London locations that, well, let's just say there's one where the boyfriend got a little over enthusiastic and had to go to the hospital, I heard.
Exactly.
Next.
So then we have the category of musical, female performance, lead actress in musical or comedy, Olivia Colman for The Favourite.
The Favourite, yes.
I have to say was the only award for The Favourite, which up until now is my favourite. Not to mention that I'm Greek, but okay, it's my favourite.
No favouritism there.
But she's really amazing. She's so good. She's so good.
I had
Olivia
a press
Colman.
Screening for that, but I didn't see it, sadly. Okay.
I couldn't make that one either. That was like one opportunity and couldn't make it that day. I just think I was hoping there'd be another one, but it was quite late anyway. Right. Yeah, it would have been nice.
Well, Regina King got it for Beale Street.
Yeah, yeah. And that was great because, up until now, the supporting roles, they are for The Favour, basically Rachel Weisz for The Favourite.
Right.
And this time it was Rachel Weisz and it was also Emma Stone, both of them, for supporting role, exactly, for The Favourite. But it went to Regina King. I was very happy, I have to say. She's great. We said it, we're fans.
Yeah,
and
I've always been a fan
really
of hers.
Nice.
So. I mean, I thought she deserved a nomination for, what was the movie what she did with Tom Cruise and Renee Zellweger took the spotlight? Jerry Maguire.
Jerry Maguire?
Really
are you talking about this old movie? Yeah.
I enjoyed that Jerry Maguire, but she was overshadowed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, it doesn't mean that... of course, Rachel Weisz or Emma Stone, they're always good in whatever film they're in, especially like Rachel Weisz. I'm a very big fan of her work, her acting. She really comes into her own no matter what film, director or genre that she's in. But in fact, that almost sort of goes against her now in like awards like this. You think if she wins, it's like, oh, they're just playing safe, you know, that sort of English actress in Hollywood, you know.
Mm. That's the great thing about America. We have this cultural insecurity when it comes to the British. If you have a British accent, you get nominated and you'll win.
You're a little bit unfair, my friend, because I love the British actors.
I think there's some talented
so
people.
They're so good. I mean, they're so good, really.
Overall,
there are many of them. At the moment, there are so
many.
There are
so many of them.
Yeah, there are so many of them. I mean,
what's
Tom Hiddleston and Tom Hardy. And
you think Tom Hardy's a good actor?
I think so.
Really?
I do think
so. You think
so.
He's a good actor?
I think he's good. I think he's good.
Jack O'Connell.
Jack O'Connell's good.
Amazing.
Yes.
Yes.
I interviewed him.
Exactly.
Tom Hardy's a good actor?
Yeah, I think he's very good.
I'm not saying he's a bad actor.
He's good. I won't say wow, but yeah.
He always has that look of he wants to kill somebody.
Did you watch the Taboo?
Yeah, and that's why I said before, he always seems to have that same facial expression. But okay, he's not a bad actor.
Yeah.
Laurence Olivier is not in heaven saying, oh my God, he's going to beat my record.
Wait, I wasn't a great fan of Laurence Olivier. Crucify me.
We'll talk about that too, yeah. I always thought, oh God, how do we... Okay, we got to stay on subject here, but my favorite actor was Alec Guinness. Anyway. Steve, what is your opinion about the Golden Globes? What do you have to say about, who has the best supporting actor?
Best supporting actor? We have got... Where are we?
He's checking his phone. This will be edited, I think.
Yes, I think it will. I was.
Who won Best Supporting Actor?
Best Supporting Actor was Mahershala Ali.
Mahershala Ali,
Who is always
Green Book?
Yeah, from the Green Book. And did you watch the movie?
It hasn't been released yet. There hasn't been a press screening or anything.
Yeah, it was in a sneak peek, and I watched the movie. It's a very crowd pleaser. It's a film that you have to go and see. But personally, I also...
Oh, yeah, Green Book, yeah.
Yeah, it's a crowd pleaser. I mean, it's for... The topics, they're very, very...
They're topical now, obviously.
Yeah, the topic is a little bit... common to say it's not something new that you have never ever seen before, but the performances are excellent and it's based on a true story.
Yeah, of course.
So
I mean, Green Books were travel books for black people during segregation times because we could only go to certain places. I've heard stories, trust me.
Right.
Believe me. Next.
But
and then you had Adam Driver in Black Klansman. It was very good.
As a nomination, you mean?
Yeah.
Black Klansman was a big snub.
Yeah, but I say it was snub. Typical Spike Lee.
4 nominations, nothing won.
Yeah.
As well as Mary Poppins.
Yeah. Well, I didn't expect nomination.
Mary. Yeah, but it's the Golden Globes, and they go with this traditional
pop
films, exactly.
And that's it. That's the thing with like Spike Lee or films of that ilk of, you know, okay, we're nominating you, we're not overlooking you because you're a contender, you know, you might win, but they never do actually win, no matter how good they are.
Sure. Very, very true. Sorry, Spike.
Yeah.
Next time.
Yeah. And, and another snub was, Amy Adams was the one who was nominated in 2 categories. She was nominated for Vice.
Right.
And she was also nominated for Sharp Objects.
Okay.
But nothing. Amy Adams, no.
I thought Christian Bale was going to walk away.
He did.
Yeah, he didn't get Best Actor.
He did for Vice.
Yes.
And actually, I saw a report that the way he changes the shape of his body, he loses weight, he gains weight.
The Robert De Niro School of Acting, acting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's a school. Robert De Niro.
But I think Christian Bale might get the Oscar.
You think so? He already has one,
a supporting role.
Yeah, but the women this year, I think they're stronger. I mean, the men a little bit weaker. I mean, I don't see any contender that it's really, really strong.
Off subject here, but I did write in my notes. I think Clint Eastwood might get nominated though.
Yeah.
This year, he's
for the Mule.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's got
as an actor. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and he
never got it as an actor, but he might get a nomination. Mm-hmm. It might, well, who knows, it could be a dark horse, but I think he could get
it. But it's also another one from the old school, Robert Redford, for The Old Man and the Gun.
Yes, that's right. Yep. And this is his last film.
He said he's going to...
He's done.
...close down the career, so I don't know, maybe we'll see Robert Redford and Clint Eastwood, who knows?
Oh, okay, but that'd be interesting.
That would be like, you know, talk about time, you know, time in memoriam. It's like the 1960s stars might win Oscars in 2018.
Oh, and the second decade of the 21st century.
I know.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, like Robert Redford and Warren Beatty, they make a film about once every 15 years.
Yeah.
And especially in Warren Beatty's case, it's a little bit indifferent, isn't it? You know.
But Warren Beatty was always indifferent about his career. But let's stay on subject here.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Well, let's wrap up the Golden Globes. Does anyone want to say anything?
Well, not.
For the best foreign language film?
Roma.
Roma, yeah. And then you had Never Look Away, Shoplifters, Girl.
Yeah. I was Roma, I think it's the most probable that's going to get, of course, the nomination for the foreign language film, for one thing. But I also liked very much Girl from Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
I was from you know the story.
No,
it's about this is a very interesting film, and actually in the festival circle it was very strong. But I think that Cuarón, he's making his second awards tour. I think,
oh, really?
After Gravity.
Okay.
I think.
But God, he's a good filmmaker, so he deserves.
He's a good filmmaker, but he's very. He has no consequence in his career. He said, I mean, I was watching a conversation in the Hollywood Reporter. Can we say that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And he said that exactly. We don't have a sequence. He doesn't have a specific subjects in his films. They're very different. All his films are so different. And he said himself that there are films that he did and he doesn't like himself.
No.
Because I'm not sure that I like...
That's a filmmaker.
Exactly. I'm not sure that I like... I mean, he did Harry Potter, he did Great Expectations, then it was Gravity, and now Roma. I mean, these are... in between, among other films. And I think that these are films that they are so indifferent.
Very much so.
Very different, really, with each other. So it means that... He doesn't have a specific thematic orientation.
He's not the classic auteur with a view of life. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And Harry Potter, but even very commercial.
Yeah, and even Clint Eastwood, he makes different films, but it's the Lone Rider. It's always from the Madison, from the bridges of Madison County, the lone rider who goes against the system. It's always one film he makes. Whereas in, with Cuarón, it's not the same story, I think.
That's very true. That's a very good one. Yeah. I didn't know that.
That's very interesting.
That's true about Cuarón. Moving right along, but that's it. That's true. Now that I think about it. Okay, wait. Okay, so we're talking about the Producers Guild.
Oh my.
The PGA. And Sophia is very up to date on all of that. Cool. So let's talk about it very quickly.
Yeah.
So the PGA, there's always a barometer of what will win Best Picture.
Mm-hmm.
And so this year, okay, we're all in a state of shock because Michael Bay has been nominated Michael Bay has been nominated this year for A Quiet Place. Alrighty.
And, well, the films are Black Panther, Black Klansman, Bohemian Rhapsody, The Favourite, Green Book, Roma, A Star is Born. Snubbed the First Reformed. Nothing. For the First Reform, nothing for If Beale Street Could Talk, which means that we're talking about the film of I don't remember the director.
For which film?
For If Beale Street Could Talk.
Thank we know who you are, but we're going brain dead.
And you're great. We love you.
Yeah.
And it was a basic contender, but actually didn't.
Why not?
That's what we're trying to find out. I think that it's gonna be only the categories of performances if Beale Street could talk.
But
I think.
But not by best director or best film.
Barry Jenkins. Sorry, we love you, Barry. We know who you are, but believe me, we're all exhausted here.
Yes.
And he's also an amazing guy.
Yeah, he's an amazing guy, and I love his technique. I love his film technique.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, enough of that. So Beale Street was snubbed, but what do you think will win Best Picture from the PGA this year?
Oh, this is very difficult, and actually, who wins the Producers Guild, who goes, ahead in the Producers Guild Awards, I think this is going to be the one that's going to be the front runner at the Academy Awards.
Of course.
At the vote. So, because this is the decisive group of professionals that they live in Hollywood, and they decide what's going to which awards are going to which studio and to which producer
company. Of course,
company.
The producers, yeah. Remember
it's
Hollywood
very
was...
difficult to say. It's very difficult to say yet. I don't know.
It's come to mind, the idea. I mean, this is nothing new, and it's been like this since the Academy Awards have started. But, there's it's interesting, the great films or the great performances by great actors over the years who are snubbed, like Robert De Niro for many years and Martin Scorsese as director. It's almost as if you wonder if the philosophy behind the Academy is these great directors and great actors, cult actors or big stars, respected stars, critic stars, the audience, they have their own niche audience, which is quite large, that'll take care of itself. So it's almost like the Academy, because it's all, of course, big commerce, they want to sort of focus on bringing sort of other ones to the fore. And so that's why I think sometimes you might get surprise winners, because they want to sort of elevate.
I disagree. But Robert Niro got The Godfather, and then he got nominated. He won for Raging Bull. So, and then he was nominated for something else in between, I think. Scorsese, I've always had a weird opinion of Scorsese in films. I'm sorry. I know he's brilliant. He's a professor at NYU. But I always found his outlook on life to be a bit one-dimensional. I'm sorry. I was like, there's only so many dysfunctional characters I can have in a movie. How many dysfunctional movies can you make? Can you make one that's functional, where there's at least one functional character? Is everybody self-destructive in your movie? You can see where this is going.
But the great...
He did The Age of Innocence, didn't he?
Which one?
The Age of Innocence.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, when
but
he was trying...
But it's also in the pattern of the films that he's making.
Yeah.
All that... But that's what we have to say. In art, all the great artists, they're making maybe one movie, or they're making one...
She's a Kubrick fan. Yeah. But no, The Age of Innocence, he was trying to outdo... what were the two guys?
Dangerous...
the guys who do all these prestige...
Merchant Ivory.
Yeah, he was trying to outdo Merchant and Ivory. And,
but he did it so well. Come on.
I think Age of Innocence got boring at times. I was like, who cares at this point? You know, he didn't see her when she was in Paris. And oh, move on. I just got bored with Age of Innocence.
I disagree, but I love you to death.
Whatever, yeah. Martin. Okay.
For my sins, I actually really loved it. You know, even after seeing Dangerous Liaisons and playing close, and I suppose you know it was in that sort of vein, similar vein. But I still loved it. You know, Michelle Pfeiffer at her.
But remember,
best.
Scorsese movies didn't make money until he found Leonardo DiCaprio.
Right.
But we'll move forward.
Yeah.
Oh, but we're off subject again. Let's stay on subject.
Which are why I think, you know, he won for The Departed.
Yeah.
And it was because it was like...
Wait. Hold on. I'm sorry, guys. This is going to be another podcast. Let's stay on award season.
Ooh.
And the awards, I think we're looking forward to the Oscar nominations now. We have the Actors Guild Awards in the end of the month.
Right.
And let's see.
Anything else, Steve?
We've got the awards. We've got the speaking from the Little Island point of view. We've got the BAFTAs.
Oh, that's true. Know, BAFTAs coming up as well. Age, right. You know?
And I think over the years they've got slightly more safe as well and conservative.
I agree.
You know, it's the for about the last 20 years now, after a terrible time in the 80s much of the 90s, the box office figures of British film like really recovered. But of course, it's got that niche now of the heritage film, you know, a sort of a nice safe window on a Britain that, like, you know, has existed for a long time.
Or never really existed.
Exactly. Never really existed.
This fantasy world of British aristocracy loving everybody. Okay,
and taking care of the poor. But,
yeah, exactly.
But people seem to love it, you know.
Yeah, we're eating that up. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I mean by everything. America, we have this cultural insecurity. Everybody in America thinks if it's a British accent, we have to give it 20 Oscars. And you're like, huh? Yeah. Oh, give me a break. But okay.
Oh, come on.
Sticking to award season, what else?
We love
what
the
else?
Brits.
We love you too, Brits. Yeah, you guys do have some good actors. Okay, anything else?
You we love you like for loving us.
And Lady Gaga, be careful what you're going to wear in the Oscars if you're nominated.
I'll be watching. So, closing out, like I said, what do you think is best picture? Again, I'm going to ask. I'm going to put us on the spot here. Best picture?
I think... I don't know.
Best picture, Steve?
I said Black Klansman. You know,
for best picture? You think that'll win for best picture?
What will win?
Yeah. Green Book?
Green Book? Okay. Green Book.
I think that it somehow has everything.
Really?
Yeah, it has a black subject, it has very good performances, it's a crowd pleaser. But of course, we shouldn't forget that it's the director is Farrelly. So who is not that very beloved, and he also did so much crap in the past. Mm-hmm. Sorry, my French.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow this film, I don't know. And for the BAFTAs, I think definitely the favorite.
I think the favorite
is a British film.
Yeah. I think the favorite will win Best Picture.
In the for Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And PGA and for the Producers Guild.
I hope. I didn't want to say it, but I
think
hope.
It could be the favorite.
And
let's see.
I think Bohemian Rhapsody, even though it's already done well.
No, it won't
win.
Best Picture, are you kidding? Unless they're blind. I mean, maybe LA gets... you know, River Nile disease and everyone just can't see cinema anymore. You think Bohemian Rhapsody will win Best Picture?
I think it's a dark horse.
Really?
Yeah, possibly. I mean...
Mm. Wow.
Okay.
Okay, so he's online for Bohemian Rhapsody. I mean, and we're not drinking.
No.
So there's no champagne. Yeah, we have apple juice here. Yeah, Bohemian... But, well, I mean, the studio's pushing it. But I think the favorite...
I think
the favorite is going.
You think it has this element that is gonna make it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but let's hope that for this time they also put Lanthimos in the category of the director because he has the tradition of being nominated always in the screenplay.
Oh, really?
Yeah. For The Lobster, for example, he was nominated for this for the screenplay,
but not director.
But not director, and continuously in the European Film Awards, he has been nominated also for The Lobster and The Deer and everything. Always for
screenplay, but the not screenplay, directing.
But not directing. So, right, so maybe. Let's hope that he's gonna get into the five. Although, as the way it seems, five positions. And to get him in, let's hope so. Let's hope so.
Well, hey,
I don't
Michael
know.
Michael Bay is getting a PGA nomination, so there's hope for everybody. Let's be real here.
That's incredible.
Anything else you guys want to add?
No, I think.
No, I'm hoping. You know, I'm hoping there'll be some nice surprises. I mean, I think the favorites.
Is a front runner.
Is a front runner, and I think. Will deserve to, you know, win if it does, and nobody could argue with that. But then I suppose that even for a really great film like that, there's always this counter argument like, oh yeah, well they had to play it a little bit safe, you know. When was the last time there was a real surprise winner, which people thought? Wow.
I don't think there was ever a surprise winner.
No,
a surprise winner last it was. For example, Moonlight, it was a surprise.
Well, that was a surprise. Martin Beatty was wandering around on stage like a lost grandfather, and he read all...
Yeah. That year was very interesting of that mistake in the end.
But isn't it sad when you remember the Academy Awards for a mistake and not for the best picture? But yeah, I think Moonlight, that was a surprise. It deserved it. I love that movie.
I loved it too, and it was a very pleasant surprise.
And it's probably the best thing Warren Beatty had done in about 40 years.
Yeah. That was the best of fun. Ooh, we're not going to be interviewing him. Bitch. I hope iTunes takes this.
His best performance since Ishtar.
Yeah.
Sorry, Warren.
Okay. Stay tuned for our next podcast. We're going to go over, I'm sure there's going to be more awards chatter. So stay tuned. Ciao. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.